College football playoff rankings released yesterday, leading us to all types of arguments, whether Indiana will deserve to remain in the top 12 if they lose to Ohio State this weekend. Massive, massive game in Columbus, Ohio. Also, the idea of load management suddenly entering our lexicon when it comes to college football, because we know Oregon is going to play for the Big Ten title game. So why would they play any of their players in the final game of the season? And
load management's not coming.
My computer's on. Yeah.
Load management's not coming into my lexicon. It's coming into your lexicon.
Well, you're wearing a 76ers hat, so he gets it all of our lexicons. But for the college football varietal, get ready. It's coming. It's here.
Well, there's load management if you're preparing for the draft. Like, you cannot. I think momentum is a real thing. You know what? Oh, man, you're right. College players who are selfish, and not selfish, who care more about their career than the team success, like Nick Bosa, I get that. But to sit Dylan Gabriel, he's only been there one season. I feel like you got to keep playing and playing and playing and be ready for this. Like, to sit is a definite handicap.
See, I don't see it that way when it comes to football. I get in baseball, guys get out of a rhythm. You don't see pitching for a week or 10 days, and you are severely at a disadvantage. Football to me is different. You get time to rest. You get time to, you know, regroup. Why are teams so much better coming off of a bye in football? Having a bye is actually an advantage as opposed to a disadvantage in other sports like baseball.
Well, yeah, but if you have like the national title game in college football, watch the first quarter of any national title game. Both teams look like crap.
Well, that could be nerves too. There's other reasons for that.
The bye, I think, is prep time because the other team doesn't have as much prep time. So you can coach specifically for that team, I would think. Whereas in these games, it's going to be the same amount of prep time for the playoff games. Both teams will presumably,
Oregon could have 2 weeks off because their bye is this week, and then they would have Washington in the final game of the season.
I just think like that's not college football. These guys are young. A lot of the guys are transfer portals. Like, you really got to keep this thing going. To disrupt what Oregon's doing would be crazy. And also, I don't think they're going to do it.
I think there's a
0% chance this happens, I would think.
It's a conversation for sure that the coaches have to be having, because what do you like better? You know, what if something happens and your quarterback or your star running back or wide receiver, they get hurt in a meaningless game? Then you're really going to be kicking yourself.
No, it's football. Read the internet about what Joey Galloway said about the Indiana quarterback. He is getting killed as a lunatic. And Indiana's in. It doesn't. People think he's out of his mind.
Well, yeah, Joey Galloway last night on ESPN, they revealed the bracket. And he thought, well, Indiana's ranked so high. They're ranked fifth right now. There's four Big Ten teams in the top five in college football as we wake up this morning, that even if Indiana gets blown out by Ohio State, they'll still make the college football playoff, so they shouldn't start their quarterback. The thing is Indiana still has a lot to prove. I don't think that Oregon has the same amount to prove to people that they really belong in this 12-team playoff. And as we know, biases are playing into this with the committee. And luckily for Indiana, those biases, I think, are working for them because they're part of the Big Ten, even if their schedule is pretty weak. So I don't know. It's like a public perception thing that's different with Indiana than Oregon.
You know what I think is also really interesting about the Big Ten is that I think Ohio State's going to be favored big time against Oregon because it's so hard to beat the same team twice.
Mm.
And the funny thing is they could play three times too. If you're Oregon, do you really want to beat Ohio State twice and then have to face them a third time? It is a very unique situation that you could have three matchups between the one team and what's Ohio State ranked? Are they...
Two.
So you could have one and two going against each other three times in the Big Ten title games in Indianapolis. Closer to Ohio State, Oregon's going to travel. It was basically a draw in Eugene. I'm not sure. I don't know if like Oregon's that strong a number one team right now either. And if they fall to five, who would they play? What if they get an SEC team? That'd be really interesting.
So if the college football playoffs started today, your first round matchups would be Ohio State hosting BYU, Notre Dame hosting Alabama, Penn State hosting Georgia, and Indiana hosting Ole Miss. Boise, Oregon, Miami, and Texas would all get first round byes. But the crazy part about this, I was listening to our pal Josh Pate, who got some early lines from FanDuel, I think, who said that both Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss would all be favored on the road. And Ohio State against BYU would be a 2-touchdown favorite, maybe more.
But that's definitely not crazy. I think everybody knows Alabama and Georgia are they're right there as the two best teams in this field. Like, nobody's going to want to see either of them.
I think is interesting is, and I don't know how much this would play in, But having some of these cold, warm weather teams go play in this cold weather, I know, you know, maybe you get lucky, you get an unseasonably warm day, you know, in South Bend or something. But having Alabama play in a cold weather place this late in the season, I think would be kind of interesting. No? Does it, you think it would matter?
Do you have any idea how good Notre Dame is?
I don't. I do not.
I mean, I think now that Jalen Milroe is like, I'm going to run every play, and he's going to run in the playoff, I think that'd be a very hard challenge for Notre Dame. No, I don't know. I also, too, like, you know, we're in New York.
It's Weather. This one does suddenly doesn't interest you?
We're in New York. It's November, and it's like 68 degrees out right now. I just don't think the weather's going to be that big a deal. But
I brought that up specifically for you because I feel like weather is your number one topic outside of traffic.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't. I'm really high on Georgia and Alabama in this field.
Way to go out in a
limb. And also, too, Ole Miss and Tennessee, both of those, they have really good lines. I'd be really scared of any of those teams. I feel like Penn State has no chance because their coach can't beat a top 10 team. And I feel like Indiana probably has no chance, same reason. And Notre Dame has not played anybody, so I have no idea. I mean, they might lose by 4 touchdowns to Georgia.
855-212-4227. So we're nitpicking here on the college football playoff rankings because, I'm going to say it. I think the Indiana ride is about to be over. Now, Ohio State doesn't look like a world beater, but I think if they lose this game, I don't think they deserve to be one of the top 12 teams. There, I'm going to say it. I'm saying what everyone's thinking, and I'm going to be the bad guy. And I'm just saying what everyone's thinking.
I don't think anyone's really thinking that.
You should be.
I don't know.
The strength of schedule is just not, it's doesn't tell, their resume doesn't tell the story of them being one of the 12 best teams in college football. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, you look at, like, Oregon, terrible schedule. Ohio State, pretty bad. Actually, a little better. Texas, terrible schedule. Penn State has played nobody. Indiana, as you mentioned, played nobody. Notre Dame is ridiculous how bad their schedule. I mean, honestly, if they played some version of Virginia and Purdue every week for 10 weeks. I don't even know why NBC is still airing them. So all these teams have played nobody, every one of them.
They at least have more to fall back on than if Indiana loses to Ohio State.
Yeah, brand. That's it, right.
855-212-4227. Okay, it's Wednesday. Around here, we do something called the Great Debate. Hit it, Alex.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay. You guys know that we loosely base this around the news every week. Well, we're still cleaning up the mess, the debris, the detritus of the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul debacle. It's inspiring us today. We're asking you, what is the most disappointing sporting event of all time? The one you may have really had high hopes for, and it just fell completely flat. Perloff, kick us off.
Okay. I know you guys are all, this team recency bias, probably going to hear a lot from the 2000s. But let me take you back to the last century. The game of the century. The biggest matchup of all time in college football. Let me take you back to 1946. Army, number one team in the nation. Notre Dame, number two team in the nation. 4 Heisman Trophy winners. People you've actually heard of. Glenn Davis and Doc Blanchard. Johnny Lujack, Leon Hart. You have all the
household
stars.
Names.
Who?
Oh, Glenn Davis. They called him Roddy Buckets.
You guys have heard of
Big
Doc.
Baby.
Wait. You've heard of Doc Blanchard. You're kidding me.
You're looking at guys who are combined 13 years old. They don't know what happened in 1994.
Do you know Johnny Lujack's name?
I don't know Johnny Lujack.
Oh, I feel like that name has been around because it's so memorable.
Manny believes history started in the year 2000.
Do you guys ever hear Win One for the Gipper? Does that ring a bell? Oh, my God.
That I've heard.
Okay, so you've heard of the Gipper. You just haven't heard of Doc Blanchard. He's one of the, like, 5 most famous college football players of all time. Anyway, this is a game of century. Dwight Eisenhower, back from the war.
Who?
Is in the crowd.
Read the room, dude.
It's at Yankee Stadium. You guys have heard of that, right?
Oh, yeah. The original one.
So this is going to be the ultimate battle. This is like LSU-Alabama times 1,000 game of the century. Guess what the final score is, Maggie?
What?
0-0. Both teams put a full goose egg for what is being called the game of the century. Neither team scores in 60 minutes of football. And it's still called possibly the greatest game of all time. I watched Eclipse, and this is where we got the music from. They basically got minus 7 yards on every play. And nobody could throw the football back then. I found it. It's considered one of the most famous football games of all time. 0-0. I was looking for a tie. I had to do a tie, and this was my favorite tie. So that is my dud of all time. Beat that.
Did they have overtime in 1946?
They did not. They didn't even have overtime in... When did overtime start?
I don't know.
About the 90s, I think, right?
Yeah. Right. I thought it might even be the 2000s.
Might be.
They didn't have the... You start at the 25-yard line, that's for sure. So weak. Army Notre Dame, game of the century, dud of the century.
Wow.
Doc Blanchard? You never heard of Doc Blanchard? Oh, my God.
Our great debate today is the most disappointing sporting event of all time, loosely inspired by the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight, the fight that launched 1,000 controversies and conspiracies. For me, the most disappointing sporting event of all time is one that I attended in person, which made it doubly disappointing. There was so much excitement behind Alabama and Notre Dame playing for the national championship. This was the 2012 season. This was still the BCS. But this game was so lopsided and so terrible that just 2 years later, we got the college football playoff. And a lot of the reason why we got it is because of this game. Because it didn't look like the computers knew how to pick the two best teams in the country to save their lives. And yeah, Alabama was a favorite in this game. Nobody thought it would be a whitewash like this.
Two receivers to the left. Apparently throwing all the way. Drops it up. Lacy in a foot race. He's on a touchdown, Alabama. Tied rolling again. If this was a prize fight, they'd call it off.
Yeah, Brett Musburger, if this was a prize fight, they would call it off. That was at 35-0 in the first half. The final score, 42-14. The most famous person to come out of this game, Catherine Webb, A.J. McCarron's girlfriend at the time, now wife, who Brett Musburger said something about her being so beautiful, and she was in the crowd because this is how bad of a game it was. Don't forget also, this is Manti Te'o in this game, and afterwards we found out that his whole story of playing for his deceased girlfriend was a catfish. This game had so much going on and yet so little going on. 42-14, the most disappointing sporting event I've ever seen.
And Gojo was part of it too.
Love Gojo.
Mike Golic Jr. was in the game.
Not a big fan of this game. All right, Bogus, why don't we go to you first, then we'll go to EJ.
It was the summer slash fall of 2007. Manny was 10 years old, and the New York Mets had a 7-game lead with 17 games left. Did I say that correctly? A 7-game lead with 17 games left. It seemed mathematically impossible to not win the NL East that year, but it was very possible. Although all they had to do was win one more time on the last day of the season, and they had Tom Glavine, future Hall of Famer, 300-game winner, on the mound, and this happened.
And Ross lifts one to right, a long run from Millage over toward the line. He won't get there, and it rolls all the way to the wall. Hermida will score. Cabrera is right on his heels and heading home. Castillo's throw. Castro can't handle it. Heading for third is Ross. Glavine makes the throw there and throws it into left field. Ross comes home to score, and it's 4-0 Florida. The wheels come off early. Wow.
They called it the Army Notre Dame baseball version after that. It was only 4-0 at that point. It was 7-0 Marlins after one inning. The Mets lost that game 8-1. The Phillies won again that day, so they made the playoffs, and the Mets completed one of the greatest collapses in sports history. Yay.
Disappointing. The next year was also equally disappointing.
Which is, again, in true Met fashion, they doubled down.
Doubled down on disappointing when you lose. It was the final game of the season, final game of Shea Stadium, and they decided to do all the festivities after the game. Bad idea. Don't do
Whoopsie.
That. Because they lost, and it was epic, and everyone was ticked off. Okay, the most disappointing sporting event of all time. EJ, go ahead.
So I really feel like, I know Pearl usually calls his shots about winning something. I'm going to call my shot and say I'm winning today. Because my pick was not only disappointing when it happened, it then crescendoed into one of the most disappointing eras of a team's history. And we're talking about the New York Jets, and we're talking about being present here. So the most disappointing sporting event ever was Aaron Rodgers' Monday night debut against the Buffalo Bills.
Protection breaks down and time runs out. Down goes Rodgers and the sack for Leonard Floyd. And now Rodgers sits down. A loss of 10 on the play, and hopefully the Jets are thinking that's the only loss on that play.
But here's a little better look as far as what might have happened for him to go back down to the ground.
And he's coming out of the game.
As Bogus told me, maybe he should have just stayed down. Oh, so Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles, which is not funny. You know, it was a terrible injury to watch. But, I mean, all of the hoopla. It's September 11th. Rodgers runs out of the tunnel, holding the American flag, spotlight on him. They got the LED lights all over the stadium. He's doing a little handshake with Sauce Gardner. It looked like something from a movie. And it was a movie, all right. It was a horror movie for Jets fans because four plays into his Jets career, he goes down with a torn Achilles, out for the year, ruins that Jets season. Rodgers comes back this year. He's been a disaster coming back this season. I think this is the pick because not only was that event awful, it actually crescendoed into a terrible disappointment of Aaron Rodgers' whole time with the Jets. So I'm going with Aaron Rodgers' debut on Monday Night Football as the most disappointing sporting event ever.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Man, you could have put Russell Wilson's debut with Denver in this category as well, though.
I do.
64-yarder.
Yeah.
Rough. I think Nathaniel Hackett present at both of those.
I'm voting for EJ's pick because I have to. The amount of hype and what actually ended up happening, the difference was amazing. It was just everyone was so fired up for that. The flag. You couldn't write a script. If you wrote that script, Hollywood would be like, that's too stupid. That would never happen.
But it's the Jets, so nothing's too stupid. Manny, the most disappointing sporting event of all time is what?
I will take you back to an event that happened in our backyard, your neck of the woods, Miss Gray. That was
Jersey.
Super Bowl 48 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The first cold weather Super Bowl outdoors. It was going to be awesome. Nothing quite like a 50-degree day in the New York City metropolitan area in early February for the Super Bowl. Funny enough, I was kind of hoping for snow that day. We got a massive snowstorm the day after the Super Bowl, so that's fun.
Yeah, that's how you knew the NFL controls the weather.
Put that all aside. Very well, then. Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, very fun. Very, very fun. 12 seconds into the game, this is what it sounded like on Westwood One.
Manning is in the shotgun from his own 14-yard line. Moving left to right. Oh, they snapped the ball. Manning was going to say something. The ball bounces into the end zone. It bounces out of the end zone. A flag was thrown. And they rule a safety, but a flag is down at the 7.
Early motion. Offense number 18 moving toward the snap. Safety.
That foreshadowed one of the worst, you know, following 48 minutes of football.
Yeah.
A 36-0 lead for Seattle at one point. Does that interest anybody in the world?
Hey, what was that center's first name?
That was Manny Ramirez, who overthrew Peyton Manning on the first snap of the game.
Yeah.
43-8, the final score. That game sucked.
It did. Does anyone remember who was the Super Bowl MVP of that game?
Malcolm Smith.
Yeah. Great trivia question.
Bruno Mars, halftime. The only good thing.
Yeah, but the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing without their instruments plugged in.
Who are you fooling? Wasn't there an incident with the train afterwards where people had to wait for 6 hours to get out of there?
I'm sure.
Manny, did that happen to you?
Day like, in New York.
That was a disaster. They're never coming back here.
I was like 11 years old. No, I was at my house.
So three of us were at that game. Because, Bogus, you said you were at that game.
Yep.
I was at that game. And, Pearl, if I know you were at that game.
I was at that game, yeah.
Because I was with you at that game. But you got to watch that game from a cool suite, if I remember, right?
Maybe not.
We'll divulge that. I was sitting in the auxiliary press box. It was so warm that day. They had heaters that were on. My laptop overheated in a February day outside. It was such a disappointing game. Okay, so there you have it. The most disappointing sporting events of all time based off of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
Which, by the way, is right there in this, the Tyson Paul. Although I think Tyson Paul, some people, including me, said this is a joke. This should not even be a thing.
Well, Bogus, you're going to make Bogus lose his mind.
Well, no, at the end. Did I not say on Friday, like, I'm not even watching this piece of garbage?
Well, you always came back around that you would eventually watch it, but Bogus was the only one who really was sickened by this entire event. But to be honest, Bogus, you ended up watching it.
Yeah, you watched
along
it
with 80
you watched it
million
live.
Other people.
Well, I didn't watch it live. I did not stay up. And I only watched it because my kid talked me into watching it.
He watched it live.
Yes. He told me it was great when I woke up Saturday morning.
Suddenly wants to know a lot about that ring girl who was in the back. Yeah. She got very famous, by the way.
The Catherine Webb there.
The little, Catherine Webb 2.0. Catherine was wearing some more clothes.
By the way, I never did. I watched one round. That's all I watched.
Which one?
The first round. I thought, and that's why I'm
the
like,
best round.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Jake Paul could take a punch. But then I didn't watch it. I heard that he threw the rest of the fighters. So I don't even know, but I found it so boring.
There was a lot of conspiracy theories about what's going on and what happened in that fight, but it prompted us to say, what's the worst sporting event of all time? The most disappointing. So there you go. Got some options for you. 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think.
You don't have to put my Army Notre Dame one on the poll. I just love a 0-0 tie. A tie. Is there anything worse than walking away from a tie? That's the worst thing in sports.
Yeah, I know soccer fans like Alex, though, and Manny are all used to it. I don't love ties.
Can I just point out, though, and I know you don't like when you think I'm mean to you, but the people who were there in 1946 say it was a great game.
How do you know?
Because it's considered one of the greatest games of all time because people that watched it were like, this is a good game at 0-0 because that's the way college football was played.
No, it wasn't. The previous two matches have been...
It's on every list of greatest college football games. No one goes, that game sucked.
The two previous games were 58-0 and 48-0. But, yeah, I know. I'm making my... I'm inserting my own opinion here. 0-0.
It's out of your spin.
If you actually follow the game, they both got into the red zone like 9 times and found ways to not score.
They played defense.
They were like the 12-yard line.
All I'm saying is the game is considered great by people who were alive in 1946.
What do they know?
They wouldn't know good football bias. If it
yeah, I mean,
jumped
honestly,
up and bit them.
Can you imagine if Mike Leach came down with a spread offense, what he would do to those teams? They'd be like,
imagine
what
if they
is
saw
this?
Cam Newton. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
855-212-4227, the most disappointing sporting event of all time. Let us know what you think.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great debate Wednesday. Today's debate, the most disappointing sporting event of all time. The hook is the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight from Friday night that a lot of people found quite disappointing. So the theme is something that was built up, and did not deliver. I went, of course, with the 1946 Army Notre Dame game, as everyone expected.
Who could forget?
Yeah, Maggie, you also went with the Irish.
I did. I went with Notre Dame falling short to Alabama. And when I mean fall short, 42-14, the national championship game, it was a snooze. So many people had high hopes for Notre Dame in that game, and they fell flat. Bogus went with the Mets collapsing, 7 games up with 17 to go, missed the playoffs. EJ?
Aaron Rodgers' Jets debut on Monday Night Football.
Brutal. And Manny Rodriguez went with?
That was Super Bowl 48 when the Seahawks pummeled the Broncos.
Man, we got a lot of doozies here. Sean is in Oregon. Sean, the most disappointing sporting event of all time was what?
I'm going to go with a little bit larger sporting event. The sporting event I'm talking about was the largest grossing gambling sporting event in history. It is the richest boxing event in history. And 91 seconds after that fight, Michael Spinks never fought again. Mm. It was when Tyson Spinks fought in 1988. I was 18 years old. That fight, there's a bigger buildup than all the other games you guys are talking about. Those guys were on the cover of Time Magazine, People Magazine. It was the biggest thing ever. All the celebrities you guys talk about, they were there. All the big-timers were there at that fight. That was the biggest thing there ever was. That was Tyson at the very top of his game.
Well, Sean, if Barbara Streisand wasn't there, then it never happened. We already covered that last week.
She might have been there.
She might have. You know, Sean, it's a great one. 91 seconds, so famous that, Spinks just gets knocked right on his back. There's a couple boxing matches we can put here. I was also present for Mayweather-Pacquiao, which was wildly disappointing. they built up that fight for 5 years, and it turns out Pacquiao was hurt. Mayweather-McGregor.
It's snowing in my house.
Yeah.
It's snowing in my house. You guys can come out and go skiing this next weekend.
Yeah.
Sean, I'm glad to know it's snowing somewhere. It's not snowing here, or barely raining for that matter. Anyway, we'll talk about the weather another time.
I get, by the way, I understand why Michael Spinks never fought again. That was what Tyson in the late 80s was so terrifying. Not in the 2024, though.
Yeah, it's different when you're 58.
Yeah,
Tyson,
a little bit.
A little different. Bogus has headlines for us. Hi, Bogus.
These headlines are sponsored by PXG Golf. Staying long and straight in the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football. And use code football. Indiana Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Alabama, Penn State, Ole Miss, and Ohio State, BYU. I said Ole Miss twice. Correct it on your own. Those are your first round matchups in the new CFP fake bracket. BYU is number 14 in the top 25, but gets a spot as the Big 12 leader, knocking Tennessee out of the field for now. The Vols dropping four spots to 11th. For losing to Georgia, Oregon, Texas, and Miami, and getting first-round buys again. Now joined by Boise State, the Broncos, the Mountain West leaders, are ranked 12th, but that's higher than those Cougars, so they get the first weekend off. Injury news now from college football. Ohio State starting center Seth McLaughlin reportedly suffered a season-ending torn Achilles in practice yesterday. The perfect start is over. The Cavaliers taking their first loss in game number 16, 120-117 in Boston. Head coach Kenny Atkinson already thinking big picture.
We have a lot to store in the bank, a lot of stuff we can improve on. A lot of stuff we, you know, I felt like I said before, we could have been, you know, I could have been better prepared on both ends of the ball. So credit to them. You know, we'll have another shot at them soon.
The Cavs got 35 points from Donovan Mitchell, but the Celtics hit 22 threes. Jason Tatum scored 33. Dalton Knecht had 37. 9 threes in the Lakers' 124-116 win over the Jazz. LA's won 6 straight and is 7-0 at home. Jamal Murray scored 27 in the Nuggets' 122-110 win in Memphis. And the Spurs topped the Thunder 110-104 without Wemby, who is nursing a sore knee. Men's number one Kansas downed UNC Wilmington last night, 84-66. Hunter Dickinson with 15 points and 15 rebounds. So the Mets have added an outfielder whose initials are JS, but it's not Juan Soto. Instead, they trade a minor league reliever to the Rays for outfielder Jose Siri.
Same.
Basically, he did tie for the league lead among center fielders in defensive runs saved last year, but he also hit 187.
Awesome.
Mets manager.
Is that bad?
It is not good. Mets manager Carlos Mendoza finishing third in NL Manager of the Year voting. Milwaukee's Pat Murphy won it over San Diego's Mike Schilt. Cleveland's Stephen Vogt took home AL honors today as the Cy Young announcements. MVP handed out tomorrow. And as usual, we finish in the NHL where Connor McDavid had 2 goals and an assist in the Oilers' 5-2 win in Ottawa. And the Ducks won their third in a row, 3-2 in Chicago. Mom, Dad, back to you.
Okay, so we got a couple really good ones here from our chat and other places. We're asking the most disappointing sporting event of all time. Ernesto's in the chat said the biggest disappointment was Germany's 7-1 win over Brazil in the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. That is a great one. That was the air just completely being let out of the room. That was a fantastic one. A lot of people also saying that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, really bad. Took them 5 years to make the fight.
That was disaster.
It was a disaster.
I mean, it feels like boxing is going to have a lot of candidates.
Yeah, and I think also for UFC, now I'm going to take you back a little bit, but do you remember when CM Punk, the wrestler, decided to become and try to become a UFC fighter? I think whole thing was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that was like a Michael Spinks situation, like a 30-second knockout or something like that. That was bad.
Yeah. It's different when it's not, you know, we got rehearsed.
I kept hearing this about Tyson. Some people, I know the game was saying this, and people say, oh, we should take pride and we should be proud of, like, these guys for getting in the ring. It takes a lot of heart. And we know that already. like, I don't want to, we can't be giving flowers to the people who show up and then just don't, just get destroyed or don't really fight and say, oh, let's give them praise for showing up. We don't do that for any other sport. Like CM Punk, and I love CM Punk, I'm a huge fan as a wrestling fan, but everybody's like, well, you know what? He got in that ring, he got in that octagon. I'm like, come on, man. The guy got knocked out in 10 seconds. You can say, hey, this was not for him. It's okay. Even in combat sports.
I really like that, you know, a lot of people would think, young people today, all about participation trophies, all about, hey, just showing up, doing your best. EJ, going against the grain here to steal from McLovin. Not good enough just to show up.
How can we say, Mike, that what Mike Tyson did on Saturday or Friday was great? Like, people were saying that. Like, that's crazy. I'm happy he didn't get hurt. I'm happy he came out in good health, it seems. But, like, that was not a good performance. Come on, guys.
Who are these people? Because I heard 99% of people say he never should have been medically cleared.
There were a lot of celebrities, particularly black celebrities, that were like, give it up to Mike Tyson for showing that the old guys can go out there and hang with a 29-year-old for eight rounds.
I think also the broadcast was doing that.
The broadcast was doing it, but
they obviously have an angle. You know, like, they're trying to sell you that you didn't just waste your last 4 hours of your life.
But, famous boxing ones, any kind of, first of all, I'm looking at the second Liston Ali fight when Liston went down with no punch.
Yeah, the phantom punch.
1 minute into the, like, imagine if you paid a lot to go see that and there was no fight. I think boxing is like, because you have to hype it. I'm thinking of the first Glover Lang Rocky fight. That did not last long.
Who could have forgotten that?
I mean, there was so much trash talk leading up to it, and Rocky just did not show up. The second one was good.
I'm also seeing Denisio saying Kimbo Slice apparently had a bad one.
Yeah, his UFC debut, I think, was also terrible. He got knocked out by some guy in pink hair, I think.
Yeah, pink hair.
I don't remember who it was. R.I.P. to Kimbo.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so you guys can keep them coming, the most disappointing sporting events of all time. Ramon is our pal in Indianapolis, wants to talk about the college football playoff rankings.
And I'll throw out a disappointing one, Maggie. I think you'll like this. The Houston-Buffalo game, that 35-3 lead, I'll never forget it. Houston, I was rooting for them then, and that was the most gut-wrenching game I've ever witnessed. That just hurt my heart. I know you all were happy in Buffalo, but that I'll never forget that game.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
To be honest, Ramon, I thought you were going to go somewhere a little bit different with the Bills playing the Dallas Cowboys and some horrible Super Bowls that were massive blowouts that left some permanent scarring.
That game, I'll never forget it, because we thought Warren Moon, they were rolling. Boy, I tell you. You know, Chris Dishman said that the defensive coordinator told them to play zone, and he didn't do that. He played man-to-man, and he knew it was a problem. great game. IU, I can't get it. I can't get IU and Penn State. They haven't played anybody. You're right, Perloff. Me and my brother have been debating all weekend. Notre Dame hasn't played anyone. It's like, here we go, going back to the system again of just worried about wins and losses when that shouldn't be the criteria. Notre Dame doesn't play Clemson this year. They don't play Miami this year. And you got an ACC contract. I don't understand how you avoid them. They don't play SMU, which is the leader in the ACC. I don't know how you avoid them. I mean, IU, even if this Ohio State game, this is the only competent team they played. The Big Ten is really, really pitiful. So, you know, it's going to be a mess, in my opinion, but there's no way in the world IU is the – you know by the eye test, and I'm here in Indianapolis, that IU is not the fifth-ranked team in the country. It's just no way possible.
Ramon, aren't you getting a lot of flack from your friends? I mean, you're against Indiana, you're against Notre Dame. I would assume there's a lot of peer pressure in Indianapolis to cheer for those teams.
I get a lot of flack from them, but my thing I tell them is that they get these shiny records Notre Dame have done for years. They haven't won since, 1989, Lou Holtz era, and they get these shiny records all the time. And then when they go up against SEC, when they played Alabama in the championship game, they got crushed. When they play some, you got to play strong talent throughout the season. That Buffalo-Kansas City game, that was a barometer for Buffalo. No, they're not taking it all the way, but at least that shows them where they are. And Notre Dame seems to always avoid that. They always avoid the regular season contest to really show us what they have. And now IU is new, and they're just coming up, so I won't be too hard on them. But Notre Dame and Penn State, who have they beaten but just Illinois? That's the only person they've beaten that was ranked at the time. So Big Ten's getting a lot of favor here, and I don't like it.
You know, Thanks Ramon, as Perloff said, that's a bold take, especially you're right in the heart of Big Ten country in Indianapolis. But it's funny because the Big Ten has four of the top five teams in this college football playoff, but I don't think anyone believes that the Big Ten is actually stronger, much stronger than the SEC this year.
The SEC is much stronger than the Big Ten. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the Big Ten is top heavy. I honestly, a little different than you, I'm much more bothered by Penn State because we have a long history of knowing Penn State is not going to beat any of these good teams. They've never beat a good team. At least we don't know with Indiana. At least there's some unknown factor. Like, why even bother tuning in for Penn State to play Alabama? Like, what is the point of that? James Franklin is all of a sudden going to reverse the last 15 years of history and beat a top 10 team? Not going to happen.
855-212-4227, but you get a whiteout. 855-212-4227. You're going to get on EJ's mom's bad side.
I don't think you can't do two whiteouts. I thought it was once a year. EJ, you know this. Like,
it is technically supposed to be once a year.
Oh, come on. We're in uncharted waters now.
You're hosting a home playoff
game for the first time ever. You'd have to go whiteout.
But I bet you they have to give some tickets to Alabama. I'm not sure the logistics of this whiteout. So it'll be a whiteout with a little crimson on the side.
Whatever, you know?
Also, is it a night?
We won't know that until the schedule comes out. But they can be. Some of them will be at night.
Because it's over several days.
Yes.
So, yeah, it could be at night.
It doesn't matter. You could have, there's no way Penn State wins this game. We know that. Indiana, I'd rather back Indiana because at least we have no idea what they are. None.
A little more of the unknown. 855-212-4227. All right, so we got a lot up for you on the table. The college football playoff rankings are out. Indiana, are you a believer? And should Oregon start to think about resting some of their starters now that they're guaranteed to be in the Big Ten title game? So you got that. Also, our great debate today, the most disappointing sporting event of all time. What do you got? Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On Wednesdays, we do something called the Great Debate, which is loosely based on the news. Today, we're asking for the most disappointing sporting event of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Based loosely or directly off of Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
I don't answer with Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. Let's let that marinate for a little bit before we say the number one most disappointing. Definitely in the conversation, though.
Without a doubt. Okay, let's go to Wilson, who's in California. All right, Wilson, the most disappointing sporting event of all time was what?
Well, Maggie, you had to know it was coming.
Yeah.
Okay, it is the elephant in the room, and we're talking Super Bowl 25. Scott Norwood's wide right that would have won the Super Bowl against the New York Giants.
Okay, Wilson, I'm going to disagree. You got the right team. You got the wrong Super Bowl. That was a crazy ending. The most disappointing one is them losing to the Cowboys 52-17. That wasn't even a game. The Cowboys blew them out so badly. To me, that was more disappointing than one of the craziest endings that we've ever seen.
The only reason I would disagree with you, though, Maggie, is you the pain kind of came early. And as the game goes on, you know, you have a couple cocktails, some hors d'oeuvres, and it kind of buffers the disappointment. But when you see it right in front of you, right there at the end, and it's snatched away, you know, that would be gut-wrenching for me. That's the only reason I disagree. But I just had you in mind, and I had to bring it up. And I kind of apologize for that.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Listen, the Bills could be on this list a couple different ways.
I feel like that belongs on and I love that call, but the heartbreaking list is a little different than the disappointing list because you're right, the Bills had plenty of other options.
Thank you, Perloff. But
the last one that they lost, nobody gave them a chance. By that point, we'd all given up on your team.
Oh, the second Cowboys?
Yeah, when they snuck in, like they were barely a playoff team, and somehow they got through the AFC. That was bananas.
Well, also, I mean, it was actually a little bit closer. The final score for that, I believe, was 30-13.
Yeah, not nail biter in Bills terms.
Thank you. Andy is in Michigan. Andy, what's the most disappointing sporting event of all time?
So, you could go down the list of all the Cinderella teams that have really disappointed, but I think the worst one was 8th-ranked Butler facing UConn in the 2011 National Championship game. That game was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think UConn shot like 9% from three the whole game. Butler shot 27%, and Butler was playing good ball that entire year, and all of a sudden both teams just completely laid eggs. It was probably the worst national championship game I've ever seen in my life.
I have the box score and I've got the team stats pulled up. Andy, this is so much worse than I even remember. So the final score was 53-41.
Yeah.
This was not the Butler-Duke.
It was coming off the Butler-Duke game. Now, I have a special place in my heart for that Butler team because Andrew Howard was their star, and he's the only person I've seen play basketball on TV who could jump less than me. And he was unbelievable. He had such a cadre of down-low moves. He was amazing to watch. That team had no talent whatsoever. They had an NBA guard. Was he
Shelvin Mack?
Shelvin Mack, right. But generally, like that was the worst game. UConn sucked the life out of that game.
So UConn in this game shot 1 for 11 from 3-point range. It's 9%.
You know, the Duke game, both teams shot pretty badly too.
Really? I just remember the Gordon Hayward almost won at the half court heave.
What was the final back here? That was also not a great game. Good finish, bad game.
Was that game, I think, like 52-51 too? Or as 52-50, like
UConn shot 19 for 55 in this game and Butler shot 12 for 64. Manny's face. You just look like you sucked on a lemon. It's a bad game. It's a bad game. 53-41.
Yeah, I mean, listen, college basketball has had its peaks and valleys in title games. I mean, let's face it, these last two UConn games haven't exactly been thrillers.
UConn went through this whole tournament and didn't even get close. It won every game by double digits.
I'm sorry, UConn versus San Diego State wasn't exactly Georgetown versus University of Houston.
Timothy is in Michigan as well. Timothy, the most disappointing sporting event of all time was what?
Well, it's interesting how Notre Dame football has made this list. And mine is 1966, another game of the century between Michigan State and Notre Dame that ended in a 10-10 tie. And here's what made it doubly disappointing was at that time, you didn't realize exactly how much tinfoil you needed to put on your antenna to get the reception you needed for the game to come in. And it was in black and white. And mind you this, we not only had to get up and change the channel at the TV, we had to use a knob to do it.
Timothy, thank you for the trip down memory lane. You know, it's not surprising. So Notre Dame was in my pick for most disappointing. Their loss to Alabama in the 2012/2013, technically BCS championship game. Yours was back in the 40s, Pearl, when they played Army.
Yeah.
It's not surprising that Notre Dame would be on this list.
Because we're
talking about most disappointing, so in order to be disappointing, you have to have had a level of hype.
That's what I was thinking. The hype around college football, like people think college football is big now. It used to be there really was no NFL for most of football history. It was, you see these crowds, there's 120,000 people and presidents at these games, and people putting tinfoil on their TVs or radio. It is incredible. That's why I thought the youngsters would have heard of those famous old players, the Galloping Ghost and Gipper and Doc Blanchard. They're like great names, and you could just name a name from the 50s. Like, oh, that's a 50s Notre Dame player.
So I'm looking up this 1966 Michigan State Notre Dame, the tie of the century, they called it. And apparently Sports Illustrated writer Dan Jenkins led the article by saying that Ara Parseghian, who was the coach of Notre Dame, obviously, chose to tie one for the Gipper.
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
There's another famous tie. Harvard beat Yale 29-29. You ever seen that documentary by any chance? It's amazing. I know that sounds like nothing now. Those used to be powerhouses. And that game was super controversial. Tommy Lee Jones was in it, so the documentary is really fun. I think Al Gore was his roommate or something. Anyway, all these stars. College football was way different. Army, Notre Dame, all those teams, like, that was like NFL on steroids.
Well, more things change, the more they stay the same. Army ranked in the top 25. Notre Dame's going to make the college football playoff. So things haven't changed that much. 855-212-4227. You can weigh in. The most disappointing sporting event of all time is our great debate today. Coming up, we're going to talk more college football playoff rankings, the current varietal, next.